Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Connor Orr knows, Monday morning quarterback, staff writer for Sports Illustrated, joins us now. Where are you located? Where's your home base, Connor?
I'm based out of New Jersey, about 25 minutes outside the Meadowlands.
A little bit of excitement around the Giants, trying to figure out if they can run the football.
Yeah, I was at camp the other day, and, you know, they're being so careful with Saquon Barkley. So we really didn't get to see him unleashed at all in practice, but then, of course, couple days later, his first touch in that preseason game does like four lateral cuts and makes it 39 yards down the right sideline. So it looks like things are working out for them so far.
You had an outstanding story about Charlottesville high school football team and sort of how sports and life intertwine. Let's talk about Charlottesville. When you go to when you go to approach that piece, and here you are. You know, you're the guy everybody's looking at for the NFL take or whatever. You're really, this is a very human story.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, you know, I was lucky early on that someone told me that sports writing isn't sports writing, it's people writing. And, to be able to have a coach open up like that, to be able to have a program open up their doors to us like that, especially after such a wound, you know, especially for his team and the community and everything like that. It was really special. And so, you know, when you have an opportunity to do something like that, you really want to do the best job you possibly can.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Because you, like, as you're writing that and reporting that, it's not just, hey, I'm writing another story. You really start thinking about the people involved and you want to honor them.
Yeah. You know, and we were in there probably like it was their third or fourth day of practice for high school, and you know, you see all these kids running around, and like coach said, I mean, you know, black kids, white kids, Muslim kids, the Syrian refugees, and at this time a year ago they were running through or trying to avoid a park where there was Nazi flags, Confederate flags, people with automatic weapons, racially motivated protesters. And so it's just insane to think about all of that and how resilient those kids can possibly be.
We're talking to Connor Orr, Sports Illustrated, and the Monday Morning Quarterback. I've talked to people over the years who have been in cities like Columbine and other places, and we start talking about their city as if it was an event, like Charlottesville and Columbine. And how hard is it for the kids in that community and the people in that community to kind of move through what was a nightmare? Or how much are they really trying to say, look, we can't forget what happened a year later?
Yeah, I think it was more the nightmare, because really, you know, at the time when I was there, there were still discussions, there were still talks about Unite the Right coming back and doing a one-year anniversary rally. And there was legitimate fear on the ground. There was, you know, people who were very upset and talked about kind of the black eye that left on the community, because, you know, the football coach told me, you know, that isn't us. That isn't the people that are here. And for us to be associated with that, you know, he took a job in Charlottesville because of the racial diversity, the inclusivity around town. And so, you know, it's deeply upsetting. And I think that the fact that it hasn't been addressed at the higher levels, it really hasn't, that's a wound that hasn't healed for them yet.
Connor Orr with us, Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback. What kind of response do you get from a piece like this versus maybe as you're covering training camp or talking about the NFL?
Well, I mean, you know, it's we've sort of had practice so far, right, over the last year, where NFL writing has sort of blended into political writing and news writing in so many different ways. And, you know, of course, people are going to have, you know, some charged opinions on everything. But luckily, I thought with the Charlottesville story, it was, you know, just a lot of open-mindedness. I think that people, you know, thinking about the kids sort of trying to get around that environment, thinking about a coach trying to get them to a scrimmage around something like this, I think it sort of, you know, takes the moment and sort of puts it into a different perspective for some people who looked at Charlottesville and maybe didn't think of it necessarily in a certain way.
Eric Sherry, who is an Air Force veteran, is the coach, one of the coaches of Charlottesville's football team. I always am impressed when you meet and encounter people like this, or we get to know them through your story. What strikes you about his relationship with the kids, or maybe his role in that community?
It was pretty incredible. I mean, you know, we were there in his office for, an hour, and we were watching practice. And I want to say, like, every 2 minutes a kid came in, you know, do you have some food for me? Do you have some water for me? Can you order me some cleats? Because I'm not going to have cleats. And, you know, I mean, there are coaches that just don't get recognized across the country, I think, that are huge parts of these kids' lives. They have their cell phone number. They are provide their last and maybe first meal of the day. And that was the kind of guy that Eric Sherry was. So definitely one of those true sort of unsung hero types in the football world.
We're talking to Connor Orr, Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback. The NFL has been criticized for its handling of the kneeling, the protesting, and really, when I think to sort of the origins of people being outspoken, I think about Charlottesville and I think about the people in that community. How much discussion about the NFL is there when you talk to the high school kids? Will they protest at games? How do they feel?
Well, it's interesting you brought that up because, you know, not only there, but here in my backyard in New Jersey, we had referees that were tossed for, you know, trying to penalize kids that were kneeling. And I think one of them ended up, you know, having some deal set up where he was going to go on Fox News to talk about how excited he was about doing it. And so I think that it does trickle down. I mean, the kneeling thing happened here in New Jersey. It was, you know, and it was a real thing last season. And it just shows me that, you know, this is not going away. It's not going away anytime soon. And, you know, I don't think football players will feel sort of a solidarity with their country until, you know, the NFL comes out and does what the players want them to do, which is, hey, we recognize you're right. We didn't have a rule on the books. We're not going to put one in now. And whatever you need to do, we're here to help you out. But, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that we're going to continue seeing, people try to raise awareness for certain injustices.
You did a great job with this story. I encourage people to read it. It's Charlottesville a year later. We're talking to Connor Orr, Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback. I've heard people say, I'm not watching the NFL. I've heard other people say, I'll always watch football. You see the league with a new policy. How much of a distraction is this going to be this season versus last? Has the league moved through it?
Well, I mean, the fact that they're still crafting this new policy, I mean, you know, we had all thought that, you know, they would try to have something on the books before that first preseason game. Obviously, that didn't happen. Kenny Stolls and his teammate were kneeling in Miami and, you know, Robert Quinn raising his fist. And so, you know, we figured that the NFL would have some sort of solution before then. Apparently, that hasn't happened. And really what has to happen is there needs to be a trust developed between the players' union, the players, and the league. And it's just not there yet. And I feel like, okay, this is absolutely going to bubble over because we have the midterm elections coming up. President Trump has identified this as a key issue for him in his base. And so I don't think this is going anywhere.
I guess I'm not surprised that politics ends up so much in sports because it's one of the few places where people from both sides come together. We're in sort of a captive environment, but I just, there's part of me too, that just, I'm exhausted with it. Do you find that the players are exhausted talking about it or and ready to move on, or is it still very much top of mind? They're passionate about it.
I think that they're passionate about it. You know, there are players who certainly, you know, wanted nothing to do with this discussion before and want nothing to do with it after. But, you know, during our training camp tour, we got the chance to speak to lots of players who, you know, this is their country. This is their livelihood. This is, you know, their family's livelihood, their relatives and friends. And so, you know, I think it's still a very passionate issue. I think what will be interesting to me is how much longer it truly resonates with the public and if the president is going to eventually drop it because, you know, how many more people are going to stop watching football because of it? If you lost the people last year, how many more people are you going to lose and how much longer is the president going to be able to sort of use this as a spark plug to, you know, do whatever he's trying to do?
We're talking to Connor Orr, Sports Illustrated, and the Monday Morning Quarterback. Before I cut you loose, biggest thing that you're watching in the preseason, we all were looking at Barkley a little bit to see, is he going to be good, or we're looking at Mayfield in Cleveland. What's the thing that Connor Orr is watching?
I had a chance to see, Sam Darnold, obviously, his debut, and that was the most surprised I was after week one of the preseason. And granted, this is against second and third string defenses, but, you know, I mean, his snap to throw time is unbelievable. His accuracy is very good. And, I don't think Baker Mayfield's winning this job out of camp necessarily, but Sam Darnold is going to beat out two very good quarterbacks, Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. So I think that's something to look forward to.
Who wins that job? Who's going to start the majority of the games this season?
I think Darnold is going to get at least 10 games for the Jets, but I would venture to guess 16 if he can stay healthy.
Connor Orr, thank you.
Thank you.
Monday Morning Quarterback and Sports Illustrated. Leave it here. Coming up, John Wilner, Pac-12 Hotline and San Jose Mercury News, talks about the Pac-12. Matt Prehm of 24/7 Sports tells us the absolute must-haves for Mario Cristobal's staff when it comes to recruiting. Who are the players they can't afford to lose? And Jim Joyce, former Major League umpire, talks about going to his first game this weekend. You got the bald-faced truth. Splash is coming up. A lot going on in the world of sports. The University of Oregon wide receivers apparently have rabbit ears. They've been they know that you're concerned about them, and they're out to show that they're misguided. Andrew Greif of the Oregonian has a great piece on Oregon Live about the receiving crew. Bunch of receivers decommitted when Willie Taggart left for Florida State. I'm curious about Willie Taggart's effect on recruiting. What I mean by that is Taggart got a lot of credit for sort of opening the door for Oregon on a new kind of recruiting. Mario Cristobal is poised to have a top 10 recruiting class if he can hold the commitments in place. It would be Oregon's highest-ranked recruiting class ever. So I'm kind of wondering if you are a baseball fan who's like, hey, Canzano's asking us, would we show up to a baseball game on a Monday night? That's one question, right? Are you moved by enthusiasm? Now I'm talking about recruiting, and I'm saying, the enthusiasm of Taggart clearly was a new thing in recruiting, but Cristobal has elevated it even further by sort of taking the open door that Willie Taggart did, created, and he's blown it off the hinges as a recruiter. But I'm curious now, like, enthusiasm is such a topic in sports. I'm curious now if Cristobal, Maybe his fingerprints were all over Willie Taggart's recruiting classes. It's just a thought. I know that's kind of a weird tangent to go from, like, all right, will you go to a baseball game? Are you excited about football? How much of recruiting is excitement? I keep finding that, like, if you can just be passionate about something, it's like, you hear that motto, half of success is showing up. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think if you show up with some enthusiasm, yes. But just showing up, there's a lot of people out there that just show up and go through the motions. I think you got to show up with some passion, some enthusiasm, sitting forward in your chair. I always look at the racehorses as they come around the turn into the back stretch. I look at their ears. You can tell when a horse is tired, its ears go back. Are your ears back? You should be at attention. Damn it, as a sports fan. Well, Mario Cristobal has taken what Willie Taggart did as a recruiter and he has like gone to the next level. That brings us to our big splash. It's the one thing in sports you need to know today.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
Must be
the big splash.
Well, it's going to be hot out there today. There's no escaping it, right? Except if you get around water. That would be the big splash as it occurs to people on a warm day. But the big splash, I think, came out of Oakland, where it was a big baseball game last night. The Mariners and the A's were playing. The A's walked off winners, but with a lot of questions about their baseball team. Can it survive drawing less than 10,400? And there were far less than the announced crowd of 10,400 at the Oakland Coliseum last night. Can it survive with having a half-empty stadium, even in an exciting game?
Right fielder Romine is playing well into right field. The pitch to Jed is poked down the left field line, a base hit in the corner. Chapman's around third. He can walk home. Lowry's around first, going to second with a stand-up double. The A's are in a doubles mode tonight. And now they've scored seven runs, and it's 7-1 Athletics.
All 5,000 people applauding for that hit. By the way, ended up 7-6.
The set by Trinan. Here we go again. And the right-hander's 1-2 pitch. The Cruz swung and a miss and a fastball for strike three. And this ball game is over. The A's hang on and they win it. A final score of 7-6.
7-6. Here's the call. Major League Baseball giving us the final call there. Big effort for the A's. 7-6 win. And it's a shame that more fans haven't shown up. I've asked you a question. I posted online a story about the A's or a column about the A's predicament, A for apathy in Oakland. I don't much feel inclined. Like, I always have empathy and sympathy for teams for cities that lose teams. Like, I'm not a huge Seattle guy, but I feel bad for Seattle. They lost the Supersonics to Oklahoma City. And I kind of don't like Oklahoma City for that reason. Like, you know, when teams move, it's never great. Because I relate to the sports fan. So it's not like I'm sitting here plotting going, oh, I hope the A's leave Oakland. But I'm also looking at the A's organization, and I'm looking at that stadium, and I'm looking at the fan base, and I'm going, that's just not working. So what would make sense is to relocate that team to a city that really does work.
Would you keep the name?
I would be inclined to go back to the PCL roots of Portland, like to really get back to your roots in order to stave off. Like if the Oklahoma City were the Sonics, I think it would be a problem.
Well, is it because of the time? Because as you know, they were Kansas City Athletics and then they went to Oakland
there's history there.
Yeah. And like, then you have all these fans. I mean, how big of a deal if they stay in Oakland, but what if they stay the A's? I mean, and you don't have any attachments up here too much, I guess.
But is there history? Like the Minneapolis Lakers, okay?
Yeah.
My wife asked me, how come Los Angeles is called the Lakers? I'm like, they came from Minneapolis.
Yeah.
It was the Minneapolis Lakers. She's like, I didn't know that. And I was like, yeah, that's why they kept the Lakers name. There was history there, right, from Minneapolis. If you remove the A's from Oakland, do you lose Connie Mack? Do you lose the history of baseball? Baseball and history walk arm in arm.
And especially with the A's. I mean, they've got a history.
Could you become the Portland Beavers? Because that PCL, you know, he goes back to 1914 in the Pacific Coast League. And there are a lot of people in Portland, I think, that would say, we want to do our own thing. We're very provincial. But the A's are a brand for baseball. Would you change the name?
Portland A's doesn't sound too bad, though.
Like, if it's the Diamondbacks, I have no problem changing the name.
Yeah.
If it's the Rays, you have no problem.
No problem. Yeah, exactly.
But if it's the A's, you can't say it's the Portland Bigfoots. And you know, like, people in baseball would revolt. Would you change the name? Tweet at me at John Canzano BFT. Tell me what you do with that. What would you do? Bobby Bean, what would you do? Change the name or no?
I'd keep it. I would.
Portland A's.
I think it's got a history, and you can. I think you could detach yourself from all the history of the A's when they become a new team here. If you don't
keep the
name.
Colors, would it still be
no,
the yellow?
You don't
and
have
green?
To. No. And the great thing about the Athletics, the A's, is it's universal. It can go to any city. Okay. doesn't have to stay. Not like the Lakers, where you knew it was in,
they
or
still
the Jazz.
It. LA
we
knew
were in New Orleans.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the Athletics that could go anywhere.
I went to the Blazers Pelicans playoff series in New Orleans, and the at the concession stand and in the souvenir shops, they're selling the New Orleans Jazz shirts.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, hey, because there's still like there's a cult following for the Jazz. Let's go to Ryan, who's in Salem. He's got an idea for us. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, John, how are you?
Good.
Talked to you a few times. I'm a huge A's fan. Maybe you remember down here in Salem. I would definitely keep their name, like you kind of started talking about it right when I started calling, just because of the history of the A's. And, I mean, when you look at championships, they have more than most teams. You know, there's a lot of history to them. And, hell, in Oregon, green and yellow is kind of in up here. So.
Yeah, it would work. You'd be there in a heartbeat.
And,
you'd go to those games in a heartbeat, wouldn't you?
I am the biggest A's. I'm standing here talking to you. I have A's socks, A's belt, A's bracelet, A's hat, A's lanyard. I work for the state. I mean, I wear A's every freaking day. I live and die for them. My whole family does. Last night, it was a big deal. We're all watching the game, and we're getting tonight, too. So,
I wish you could go to the game in Portland.
And they're amazing right now. I mean, they are. I don't see why not. Why they can't go all the way. They're just getting better.
All right. Leave it right here. You got the ball.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.